Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny.
Thursday in the Doghouse comes to you live every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. Both Karen and I are professional dog trainers and behavior consultants in New Jersey. Every day we're out meeting dogs and their pet parents. We work with many dogs that have developed serious behavioral issues like fearfulness, separation anxiety, dog-on-human, and dog-on-dog aggression, and many other issues. We host this radio show in the hopes that we'll help our listeners who live with dogs to understand them better. We also like to interview experts in this field like veterinarians, shelter and rescue workers, and other trainers. Today, Karen and I will be talking to a truly great trainer and a wonderful human being who cares deeply about people and their animals. Her name is Susan Belanda. Sue is a regular visitor to the Doghouse. She's been training dogs since 1961, and her specialty is training search and rescue dogs. She's written 7 books, numerous articles, and has been published in Proceedings of the Journal of the National Association of Search and Rescue. Her newest book is called Faithful Friends. It's about Holocaust survivors' stories of the pets who gave them comfort, suffered alongside them, and waited for their return. This 144-page paperback book tells 10 personal memoirs written by those survivors about their relationship with their pets from 7 countries touched by the Holocaust: Hungary, Poland, Belgium, Holland, Romania, France, and Yugoslavia. Susan provides an introduction to give some background as to what was going on in that country at the time of each story. I can honestly tell you this book is one of the most heartwarming books I've ever read. Before we talk to Sue, please let Karen explain what services she offers in the Keyport, New Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and behavior consultant.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Good morning, Sue. Thank you so much for joining us in the Doghouse today. I've missed you terribly. I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. This book, it's incredible, and it's full of historic information. I'm curious about, can you give a little introduction to our listeners about what this book entails? Tell everybody just a little bit about what they'll read about when they open these pages of the book called Faithful Friends.
Well, it's like it says, it's the stories of the pets who were owned by the Holocaust, people that suffered in the Holocaust. They, you know, many of them had all of them had to leave their pets, and this is the story about what happened to them, and some were reunited, and their feelings, and part of what happened to them as well as their pet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an easy read. It's not a fun book to read, but the beauty of this book is that it really shows you the human-animal bond.
Absolutely.
It also gives you a piece of history that's never been told before. It's the only book, to my knowledge, written on the topic.
Mm-hmm. What inspired you to write it, Sue? What gave you the idea to do a book like this?
Well, actually, it was the movie The Diary of Anne Frank. And I noticed, being a, an animal behaviorist, I noticed they risked their life to take their cat in hiding with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a detailed person, so I realized that if anybody's ever seen the movie or read the book, they were hiding way up in the top of a building, like an attic.
Mm-hmm.
And there were workers, a business going on downstairs, so during the day they had to be completely quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And they only had wooden planks as floors. It's not like today's houses that have insulation that hides sound. That type of a building and structure would almost echo sound.
Right.
And they had to be able to keep the cat quiet.
And that must have been difficult. That must have been
how
really
much
difficult.
That cat meant to them, that they were willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there had to be other stories like that.
Right. So how were you able to contact the people you interviewed for this book?
Well, it took me years. It took me years to be able to do that.
How many years did you work on it?
I lost count. It's the kind of thing, I'm not a full-time writer. I have my practice as a behaviorist. So, you know, it's when I get the time to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to contact mostly Jewish magazines, newspapers, wherever I could think of a way to reach Jewish people and ask for stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they dribbled in very slowly. I mean, I probably spent every bit of 5 years or so collecting this data.
Wow.
Then I had to do the research about what was happening at the time in World War II where these people lived.
Mm-hmm.
Because that had a real impact on how they felt and what they did and the decisions they make.
Mm-hmm.
People today, especially younger people, don't realize there was no TV, there was no internet, no computers. The only communication or information these people had was by word of mouth or from the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the radio stations in those areas were controlled by the Germans, so they didn't get the truth. I know people used to try and get the BBC, which is the British Broadcasting Company,
mm-hmm.
From England. They would try and get to listen to the BBC radios because then they got the truth about what was happening during the war.
Right.
And it's really hard for people today to understand how isolated these people were,
mm-hmm.
In terms of knowing what was going on. As people today say, well, how could they not know? How could they, how could this happen?
Mm-hmm.
But that's because they didn't have information.
Right.
If some of the older people of your listeners may remember, when you were a kid and you went to the movies, you had newsreels.
Right, I do remember that.
And those were your means of getting news reports,
mm-hmm.
from around the world. So it was a different world back then, and I felt it was important for my readers to have a little bit of history so they could understand what was going on.
Right. Karen, do you have a question for Sue?
Yeah, I do. So when you got in touch with the people, how did they feel when you interviewed them? Like, were they? Let me just rephrase it. How did they feel when you interviewed them about this particular topic? I mean, was it emotionally charged?
It was definitely. I know. I sat on the phone when I talked to some of these people because they were from all over the country, and
mm-hmm.
So I couldn't visit them, so I had to do phone interviews. And we would be sitting, a couple of us, sitting on the phone crying.
Mm.
I mean, it was like the emotions that they felt when they told me the story. And without exception, everybody that I spoke to, thanked me for caring enough and giving them closure.
Absolutely.
And that made the whole project, if I never sold a book, that made the whole project worthwhile, because you have to realize, and again, today we know and recognize the human-animal bond and how that losing a pet is like losing a family member.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, they did not recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the deaths of people that were happening and all the terror that was happening, people really didn't want to hear that you were mourning the loss of a pet. So they didn't get the support and the closure that we would get today.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the people I spoke to, they kind of buried it back in their heart. And when I talked to them about it, it finally gave them that closure. They thanked me for caring enough to ask.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I want to thank you too for writing it, because, I mean, it was the most heartwarming story in the world. But like you said, it's not an easy book to read, because it is so emotionally charged. It is so sad in some of these cases. It was difficult for me. I think I mentioned to you before the show that, you know, I could read a chapter a night. I just couldn't do any more than that. I had to stop and I just had to think about what I had just read. And it was just really very sad for everybody.
I have to tell you, I was reading through the book and I reached the chapter with Hanny, the shepherd.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, I couldn't read anymore.
Right.
Because I have a shepherd, and the way that the family describes this dog's personality, how, you know, it was able to make good decisions, and the German Shepherds as a breed are incredibly attached to their owners. Not that all dogs aren't, but the German Shepherd does suffer from a very unique problem when it is very attached to its owner, and that is separation-induced anorexia, where, you know, there's been cases where German Shepherds have actually starved themselves to death because they're so grief-stricken they can't eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened to Hanny, and it was just, forget it, I lost it.
Well, there was not enough food
I was like, all right, I got to put this down.
Yeah.
I mean, some stories really had such beautiful, happy endings. I mean, it was like watching a movie, but this particular story about Hanny just really, really hit home hard.
Mm.
Right.
You know what, Sue? It surprised me that there was a Jewish family who owned a German Shepherd, because weren't those dogs looked at in horror in those days? That was Hitler's dog. And they were used, you know, to
terrorize people.
To terrorize people and to scare them. So I was very surprised that a Holocaust, you know, survivor had owned a German Shepherd. So were you surprised by that?
I wasn't surprised, because they had the Shepherd before, you know, a lot of this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have
to realize that somebody that owns a dog like that realizes the dog is trained to behave like that. It's not the dog's fault.
Right. Oh, absolutely. But in those days...
And I think in the introduction, Debbie Winkler shared with us how she helped a woman get over that very terror of German Shepherds because of the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Really? Well, listen, Sue, we're going to just take a short break so that I can let my listeners know what services I offer here in New Jersey. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age, and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com.
It's Karen. I want to welcome everybody back to Thursday in the Doghouse. Today we have Susan Belanda on the telephone, and she is the author of Faithful Friends, Holocaust Survivor Stories of the Pets Who Gave Them Comfort, Suffered Alongside Them, and Waited for Their Return. And I wanted to ask you, Sue, if you have a particular favorite, and then I could share you my favorite in the book. Do you have a particular favorite, or are they all...
Well, I really liked all of the stories, but the one that I think would make a great movie is the French story. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that was an incredible, incredible event that happened. And I'm hoping someday I can make connections with somebody in the movie industry to get that one made into a movie.
Sue, you're talking about the French bulldog named Nicholas?
Yep.
That was
yep.
my favorite. That was my favorite also. There was a little humor in that story, too.
He was quite a character.
He was. But his mom was a character, too, really. I mean, I was kind of shocked that she was more concerned about the dog, really, than she was her husband, because they had been separated. This little dog had a lot of spunk, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Karen, did you have a favorite?
My favorite was Fleeku.
Okay.
And only because from a behavioral standpoint, and how, you know, the story explains how this little dog just started to begin to really hate anybody in a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the dog was eventually put down for it, later on in its life, mm-hmm. but, you know, because of the terror that everybody, you know, lived through during that time, the ones inflicting the terror and the abuse and all that sadness were men in uniform. And this little dog, who was like a happy-go-lucky creature, just over the years got more and more aggressive to people wearing uniforms. And it's, you know, it's a very sad story.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there were more happy stories in it.
Mm-hmm.
There are happy stories, but being the very emotional, colorful person that I am, I'm always drawn to the sad, heart-pulling strings mm-hmm. kind of stories. But and Hanny is another one that really...
That was the one about the German Shepherd. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Rainey?
Well, I liked several of them. My favorite one was about Nicholas, the French bulldog, because he just seemed to have so much personality. And the mom, she had a lot of personality herself. But I have to tell you, there's a story about a cat in there.
Yeah.
And when I saw the cat's name, I really had to smile, because the cat's name is Quetzalah. And when I was growing up, my grandmother nicknamed me Quetzalah.
Aww.
So that name means a lot to me. And actually, my first dog was a German Shepherd. And for some reason, my nickname for him was Quetzal. So why call a German Shepherd little cat, I don't know. But I just like the name, you know. But the one that really I got really upset about was a story about Dolly. She was a fox terrier, and as I read through the story, I'm thinking, oh, my God, she's got separation anxiety, but nobody really recognized what that was. And then when her family were removed from their home, somebody was taking care of her, and she would look out the window watching people go by, you know, waiting for her humans to come home. And this was tragic. She saw a young girl walk by, and she jumped right out the window thinking that it was her beloved Sonia. So I want to tell you, I'm in tears. The tears flew, you know, just flowed during this whole book. But I don't want people to think, oh my God, I don't want to read that book. It's too sad.
No.
It is an important book. It's a beautiful book, and it does bring home the human-animal bond, you know, in such a difficult circumstance. You know, and I was thinking about the dogs that were in the flood of Katrina and other, you know, national disasters that we have. What happens with those dogs when all of a sudden their humans are no longer there? It is extremely, extremely sad.
Susan, I have a question. Yep. Is this book available in any of the Holocaust museums?
Well, I'm trying to get it in there.
It really needs to be there.
How do you do that,
yeah.
Sue? How do you go about getting that to happen?
Only out less than a year.
Right.
Yeah, Katie was asking, how do you go about doing that?
Just contact them. You just have to write to them and tell them about the book and hope that there's some interest.
So other people who have read the book can contact them?
Oh yeah, anybody could contact any synagogue or bookstore or any place that sells books and suggest that they carry it.
Wow.
And sometimes when it comes from not from the publisher or the author, they pay attention a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh,
so, but it's available on Amazon. It's available in a Kindle version. I'm not sure about the other ebook formats. My publisher, I think, is working on that.
Right.
And if anybody wants an autographed copy, they can get it right from my website.
Oh, please tell them what your website is.
It's www.SBulanda.com. It's just my name.
Okay. And
they
so
Google my name and find it too.
Right, and they can purchase it directly through you.
Yep, I have copies that I autograph copies, and you have to, for those that are collectors.
Mm-hmm.
These are first edition, so you have an autographed first edition.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, how did you get a hold of in the section with Nicholas in France? How did you get a hold of that pedigree paper?
From the family.
Oh, they still had it after all those years?
As a matter of fact, that woman that that was involved in that story passed away, and I actually have a copy of her journal that she kept.
Wow.
Family gave me her journal. And
oh, my God. That must have been heart-wrenching.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is that what happened is later on, I'm not sure when exactly, somebody found her other journal in France in a flea market.
No
kidding. And her family sent me an English translation of that. That is available as a book in French, though.
Oh, my goodness.
And it will be available in English. So that's, I kind of got the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her journal about her captivity in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Did she die?
So I got to actually read the whole, I got the whole story, but that was after my book was published.
Oh, I see. So did she pass away in this country, Sue, or did she pass away in France?
I'm sorry?
The woman that we're talking about who owned the French Bulldog, did she die did she come to the United States?
Oh, yeah, she settled in California.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, in the story it tells how they got to California. It was a chore to get out of the country at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And she wound up moving to California, and I don't know exactly when she passed away or from what, but it was premature. She
mm-hmm.
probably suffered, you know, health issues from being in captivity.
Absolutely.
As many of the people did.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they made it to and settled in California, and there was her family told me that they actually had made the headlines in the paper, but I wasn't able to track that down.
I see.
So
yeah. Well, I have to thank you personally for writing it. I think it's just a beautiful book. Do you know if it's selling well at this point?
I don't know. I won't find that out till I get my first royalty check.
Okay. Well,
I did want to mention something very important in the book, and that is at the end of the book, where you would normally find an epilogue, there is history about the contributors, and there's photos of the contributors. Mm-hmm. So it kind of lends even more of a personal connection, because you do read about their story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of these people were the only survivors of their family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really, really unbelievable. Book. I mean, I know there's been a lot of things published on, a lot of books published on the Holocaust, and, you know, and you know, people don't give much thought to the animals.
No.
I mean, anybody that has a pet knows that, I mean, there is such a bond there, and,
mm-hmm.
and we do rely a lot on our animals for emotional support,
mm-hmm.
During, you know, very difficult times of our lives. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to have an animal with you, or even have it in the back of your head that that animal is waiting for you at home. I mean, it gives people purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Not that humans don't give us purpose, but, you know, just to think that you have this little thing that depends on you, it kind of is like a little glimmer of hope, especially for children, you know, because children are so innocent.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're not really thinking about, you know, bad people, and, you know, they're just kind of trying to get through the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, having a little animal there is, it, you know, probably really gave people a lot of help.
This is a very different book than you've written before, Sue. Talk about a little bit about the other books that you've written. You specialize in search and rescue. You've written books about that activity, correct?
Right. I have two books on search and rescue and a breed book on the Boston Terrier.
And why did you choose to write about the Boston Terrier?
Well, actually, the publisher asked me to. and that's actually the third edition of that book is due out next month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very popular little book.
Good.
But, and then I wrote another unusual book that I wrote is called God's Creatures, A Biblical View of Animals.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, what I do is I take the questions my clients asked me over the years about animals and scripture, and I take those questions and I research them to the point where I actually went to the original text in Hebrew and Greek to check the meaning of words so there would be no misunderstanding.
Wow.
And I wrote an explanation from a behaviorist point of view,
mm-hmm.
What it meant when it talked about the animals in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based from, like I say, a behaviorist point of view as well as a theological point of view, because theology is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't not consider that.
Right.
It's mostly based on the Old Testament, although it's written from a Christian point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And people love that book because it explains things that they didn't realize, not only about Scripture, like I talk about certain instances that are recounted in the Bible, and I explain the behavior that occurred that shows where it was maybe unusual, outstanding, or a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And that book is very, very quite a popular book because I do answer the big, big, big question people have.
What's
and
the title of it?
Do animals go to heaven?
What is the title of your book, Sue?
It's called God's Creatures, A Biblical View of Animals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And can they get that at your website, too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But,
can you repeat the website for our audience again, Sue?
Sure. It's www.sbulanda.com.
I hope that this little book that you've written becomes just as popular as your other books. I'm going to talk about it a lot, and you know, I think I may want to read it again at some point. And I thank you so much for joining us here in the doghouse today. I want to make sure you're going to come back soon, and we'll talk about.
Oh yeah, I'll be happy to.
Oh, I know you will, and we always enjoy talking with you.
It was a pleasure meeting you, Sue. Really, it was an honor.
And thank you so much for writing that book, because I think that you're going to help educate people about that time in our history and the human animal bond. So I hope everybody has a good day. I will hope that you'll rejoin us again next Thursday morning. morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. Karen and I, part of our discussion is going to teach you how to introduce a new dog into your home when you already have a resident dog. It gets a little tricky, so stay tuned next week and we'll teach you how to do that. Okay, guys, have a great day.
You guys have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been home.